What's up? We got to think of a new phrase. I guess cheap seaters for now. It's Nick.
And Adam.
And welcome to episode one. Notice I said one. We're back to one. We're being reborn.
It's a reboot.
Yeah, we've already decided on a reboot.
No. Spinoff.
Yeah, spinoff. There we go. Episode one of our spinoff of Cheering from the Cheap Seats Overtime.
What?
What's that you say?
That's what everybody wants. More of us.
You're dang right they do. We're adorable.
But yeah, so if you listened last week, I know we teased this. We're just doing because, you know, we like more than sports. You know, we are big dorks and nerds and geeks. And
if you couldn't know that by listening to the rest of our shows.
Yeah, so, you know, we love, you know, movies, games, comics, what have you.
All four mixed into one.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Legos, movies about Legos.
Games about Legos.
Games about Lego movies.
Those two.
That exists, actually. Yeah. Anyways.
Before we go down that rabbit trail.
Anyway, so, you know, when we first started a podcast, we're like, hey, we want to do a podcast. What can we do it on? And we're like, sports. We want to do, you know, nerdy stuff, mm-hmm. like movies, games. So we decided on sports. And I mean, like, and then we did, you know, got 10, 15 episodes. And I was like, man, I really want to talk about, like, my superheroes and my Star Wars, too. So, like, hey, we can do a sideshow. So here we are at the overtime.
Yeah. I mean, we actually reached out to you guys on our Facebook group. We're like, hey, is this a good idea? And the overwhelming majority said, go for it. So here we are.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
You're
nothing
welcome.
Left to say. Left to say except. Oh, I can't finish that. Might get sued by The Rock. Or Pixar.
Yeah. Disney. Well. Yeah, Disney. The mouse.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'd be more worried about the mouse than I would The Rock suing.
Yeah, probably, because the mouse owns like half the world.
Yes.
Save it for the Pixar rankings. No way, that's not even a Pixar movie.
Is it not?
I think it's just a regular Disney animated studios. I don't think. It might be. Well, that's neither here nor there. Anyways, what we're here to really talk about, we tried to tease it last week. We're going to be, you know, there's a movie coming out. And we told you to go look it up. And if you haven't figured it out by now, well, sorry. It's a little movie. You may have heard of it.
This is a teensy one.
The Batman.
The Batman.
Not Batman. Not Batman Begins. The Batman.
The Batman.
We've got a new Batman. It's no longer Batfleck. It's Robert Pattinson.
Sure is.
Starring. And, you know, when I first announced this, I was like, eh. And, cause, you mean you're getting the Twilight glittery vampire guy to play Bruce Wayne?
I couldn't see it. It's like you said, Pattinson, of course, is always going to be known for his Twilight career. So it's like, glittery vampire playing the most brooding and dark comic character ever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But after early reviews and stuff, people apparently love it. So my hype level has increased exponentially.
Yeah.
So with that, we decided to rank the standalone Batman films. Caveat, we are not doing the 1966 Adam West Batman movie because...
Somebody, Adam, has not seen that movie.
I need to see it, and it's kind of hard to find on any streaming platform, so...
Yeah, I mean, I would have loved for you to sit here and watch it, because I think you would have thought it really stupid, but I thought you would have had a blast with it. But we thought since you hadn't seen it, and we, like you said, we even looked like it's a little tough to find on any streaming service right now. So we thought maybe a little bit further down the road when we can find it a little easier, be able to
plan
it a little bit more, to actually base a whole episode around your thoughts on that movie. Because, I think that'd be a whole lot better than just trying to add it here. You haven't seen it, so it's going to automatically be at the bottom of your list. Like, I want you to see it and be able to talk about it.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that. So, and also, so we're not including any of the new DC EU movies. So no Justice League, no Batman versus Superman, and no animated movies either. There's some really good Batman animated movies, but we figured we might leave that to a separate episode too.
Definitely.
So we're just sticking to the, starting with the 1989 Tim Burton Batman.
Yep.
Up to the Dark Knight trilogy.
Yes.
By Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, so that's right there. That's seven movies. We'll be covering this episode.
Yep. So, without further ado, who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
With their number seven.
I will go first. So, I'm pretty sure that anybody listening that knows their Batman movies very well pretty much know which one's going to be. I know... probably at the bottom of your list too, but my number seven coming in at last place is what year was this? 1997. So 1997's Batman Robin.
Yeah, mine too. I think this is probably on the bottom of most people's list.
For those that don't know, this is Joel Schumacher's second attempt at the Batman movie.
Mm-hmm.
Had George Clooney starring as Bruce Wayne / Batman. Christopher O'Connell as Robin. Sharon Silverstone?
That's right.
No, Alicia Silverstone.
I know it's a Silverstone.
As Batgirl. Uma Thurman as Poison Ivy. And the Governator himself, Arnold Schwarzenegger, as Mr. Freeze.
Oh, I knew it.
Yes. So, why is this movie at the bottom of both our lists? Because it sucks.
It might be better to... easier time talking about what's good about the movie. Does it have any redeeming qualities?
I like the fact that... I will admit... the early or late 80s... I mean, I say that... I mean, Batman was 89, so that still constitutes as a late 80s movie, mm-hmm. I guess. But 80s, 90s Batman, I always like the fact that they tried to introduce new villains, mm-hmm. new characters, whatnot. So I like the fact that this one introduced Batgirl.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
yeah.
And I think Uma Thurman's halfway decent as Poison Ivy. Mm-hmm. There's not much more, though, that I can say good about this movie.
Yeah, I mean, I remember... I'm pretty sure I liked this as a kid. You know, you said 97. So I was 7 years old. And all of these I probably liked, you know, because I'm a kid. I'm stupid. So you don't really realize how bad a movie is.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, I liked Attack of the Clones when I was little too, so.
Well, we'll save that for another day.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a different show. But, like, Mr. Freeze... is such a good villain, and they just, it's between all the puns, which is just horrible. Like, I'm sure you could find a list of just all the awful ice puns.
Oh, no doubt.
Ice to meet you has always been my favorite. and
it's so bad.
There's so much about this movie.
Go ahead.
Don't
forget bat nipples.
Yeah. Oh, this movie introduces to the bat nips, the bat crotch, and the bat
butt. Bat butt.
Like, just close ups, just like bam, bam, bam.
Yeah. I don't know who thought it was a good idea to put nipples on the bat suit, but
So there's that. And I remember one scene. It's like Gotham. It's supposed to be, like, dark and gritty, like, and I remember this being, like, it's so, too much going on, like, neon.
Yes.
And just, like,
yeah.
I remember one scene where I think they were fighting a bunch of Mr. Freeze's, I said Iceman.
Iceman?
Mr. Freeze's goons, and they were, like, on, like, ice skates or something, or rollerblades or something.
Yeah, because they're trying to steal a diamond.
And I'm like, this is just so, like,
stupid,
cringy.
Yes,
and, you know,
it is. Yeah. I will, I mean, and two, like, you would think a guy like George Clooney, who's, you know, this suave, rich guy in real life, would be good enough to play a suave, rich guy in a movie, but he's just a horrible Bruce Wayne Batman. Like, and he's just not good.
Yeah, and I'll say, I've always said that anybody can put on the suit and be Batman, be a good, decent Batman.
Yes.
You have to be a good Bruce Wayne if you're going to be in one of these movies. So,
he was not.
Nothing
noteworthy at all about his his Batman portrayal.
Yeah, and all the last thing that I almost forget, wasn't Bane in this movie too?
Yes, he was.
I love Bane.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
You know, as I've gotten older, I've gotten to love Bane as a character, but not that version of Bane.
No, I mean, proven later by a movie that we're going to talk about later is Dark Knight Rises, and that's how you're supposed to do a Bane.
Yeah.
The Bane in this movie is not intelligent.
No. He's just a
doesn't know any words.
Like, I like that they did the show him pumping the venom up and he can get bigger. That's comic accurate, which they didn't really do in Rises. So, yes. But Rises is supposed to be a more grounded, realistic type movie. Realistic, used loosely.
Quote unquote.
But, yeah, just... this is just not a good movie.
It's not. So, it's god awful.
Yeah. Well, I wish I had the Rotten Tomatoes or Metacritic. You prefer Metacritic or Rotten Tomatoes?
Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
Well, if you can hold the
vamp a little, yeah. Like this.
Do you remember the back credit card in this movie? Like they literally had
back card.
Yeah, they literally had Batman just have everything there was. It drove me crazy that of course in the comic books, you know, he always seems to have an answer for everything, but this seemed just a little too out there. Like the instance where you're talking about where they're fighting the guys on the ice, like they automatically have ice skates built into their boots, and then he has the bat credit card, and I'm like, what is going on with this stupid movie?
I'm sure we'll talk about it in one of the late other movies, I know these, in this time frame, these movies are made to sell toys to kids, McDonald's toys and whatnot.
Well, that's why Joel Schumacher was brought in. Because Tim Burton, from what I understand, studios were not happy that his Batman movies were too dark, so they brought in Joel Schumacher, said, "Hey, lighten the mood of these movies," and this is why we got the crap that is Batman and Robin and Batman Forever.
Yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes for Batman and Robin is at a 12% for critics and a 16% for audience.
Yeah, so.
So good job, Batman and Robin. You guys don't win anything. You win nothing.
What'd you say that Rotten Tomatoes score was?
12%.
12, okay.
For critics. I don't know how...
Teeth.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so I think I beat that dead horse enough.
I think so. If you don't believe us, go watch this movie. Because it's absolutely booty salt.
So,
booty juice.
My number six, which is, this was a tough one. I could have swapped it somewhere else. But I went, and it's a lot, mostly because I don't remember. It's been so long since I've seen this, and I don't really remember a lot about it. Is Batman Returns.
Oh, wow. You put Batman Returns at six. That's kind of surprising.
I know, but I have reasons. But so I assume you have it higher,
slightly higher.
Slightly higher. So we can wait until we get.
Go ahead and go into your thoughts on this movie.
Well, the only reason it's this low is my lack of memory. I have seen it because I remember the points that stick out in my mind is, Danny DeVito's Penguin. He's got his little penguin henchmen walking around and like have bombs or whatever. I remember the Catwoman. This is the first time we've seen Catwoman in a movie. Yep. You know,
Michelle Pfeiffer's
Catwoman.
This was also Michael Keaton's second go as Batman.
And other than just though, because what year did this movie come out?
1992.
So I mean, I was 2 years old, so like I don't know how many times I've actually watched it since I was... I mean, I'm sure I didn't actually watch until maybe like 5 or 6, but... Mm-hmm. I don't know how many times I've watched it since then. So I know I need to prepare more, but I would have loved to have watched all these movies within like the last 2 weeks or so, but we didn't kind of decide it this late. And so
sorry
for that. But I know this is highly regarded as higher than the number 6 spot. So, yeah. But that's why I have it this low.
Slightly. So your number 6 was Returns. My number 6 was Batman Forever.
Okay. I have that at... I have that higher. So, but you can go ahead.
Okay. Batman Forever was, of course, Joel Schumacher's first go at Batman. Mm-hmm. Val Kilmer was your Bruce Wayne Batman. You had Jim Carrey as Riddler and Tommy Lee Jones as Two-Face. I feel like I'm missing. This was the introduction to Robin. So Chris O'Donnell was your Robin in this movie. Never understood why they called this one Batman Forever when it had Robin, or introduced Robin, and then the next one was Batman and Robin when it introduced Batgirl.
I think because Robin didn't really come, he didn't really suit up until maybe like the end.
I guess.
And maybe they didn't want to ruin that Robin was in it by the title.
I guess.
But, hey, surprise, Robin's here now.
I guess. So that's this one. This one holds a 39% critic rating on Rotten Tomatoes and a 32% fan percent. So good things I like about this movie. I always like Jim Carrey's portrayal as Riddler. I thought sometimes in the movie it was a little too Joker-ish. Like, he seems to be a little too psychotic for a Riddler.
Yeah.
That's just me. I do feel like he was having fun with the character, though. I always like the scene where they break into the Batcave and he's throwing out little Riddler bombs and just blowing everything up. I thought Val Kilmer's a halfway decent Bruce Wayne Batman.
That's the Iceman.
Yes, it was. of course, as I said, with Batman and Robin, which introduced Batgirl, like that this one introduces Robin. You know, you finally get Robin on screen. Dislikes. Hated Tommy Lee Jones' Two-Face. I just feel like he's just way too over the top.
Yeah.
Which it's saying a whole lot for these last two movies. I hated the whole, I'm trying to remember exactly what it was called, but the thing where they hooked up the thing to their, or the device that like sucked out brain waves from people that they sold stuff to. I thought that was just way too dumb, too stupid. So while I think this movie is definitely better than Batman and Robin, it's still not that great a movie.
Yeah.
So and then of course Joel Schumacher, we had to discuss this, but his first go, it's a different tone than it is for Tim Burton's movies. Like it's a completely different tone than it was for those two. So that is why it is so far down my list.
Yeah.
I don't hate it like I do Batman and Robin. Batman and Robin I hate.
Yeah. Oh.
This one where I'm like, I can at least have a little bit of fun with this movie. Yeah,
it's fine.
So
well, yeah, that's fair. So my number 5.
Yes.
My number 5 now.
Yeah.
So my number 5 is a movie I just watched recently. So it's actually the freshest in my mind. Is 1989's Batman.
You might piss some people off.
No, well,
including 1989 that far down the list.
No, I have reasons. No, because whatever. I knew what my top.
Go ahead.
Thoroughly enjoyed this movie.
Okay.
Mostly because I think this is the first time I've actually sat, watched it all the way through. I
we all know what a Joker, good Joker character is, but I didn't hate Jack Nicholson's Joker character in this movie.
Yes.
Like, he is, he's actually more violent to be than I expected him to be. I mean, he's not as violent as Dark Knight Joker, but.
Of course.
He's straight up, like, murdering dudes. I like to see a different take on him, that he starts off with as an actual, just normal dude.
Yeah.
That falls into the vat of acid or whatever and gets deforms his face, whatnot. They give him a backstory, because isn't he the... They make it where he's the one that killed his parents,
yes.
Batman's parents.
Sure is.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry. For a movie that's 30 years old.
Spoiler alert from all these movies, you know, I don't think we should have to worry about it, because the newest of these is still like...
10 years old.
10 years old. So, but, you know, you've been warned.
A little late, but you have been warned.
I think I like better when the Joker is a mysterious. He just kind of comes out of nowhere, madman. You know, there's no rhyme or reason for what he does, which isn't really this is, but it's different. But my favorite, what I like best about this one is, I loved the Batman animated series, and I got such, which I know this came first,
yes.
And I think we've talked about it. This kind of paved the way for the animated series to be a thing, because the music is almost identical.
Yeah. Atmosphere.
The atmosphere, the way Gotham feels, the Batmobile is like identical, and the yellow and black Bat logo. Yep. I just love the look of it, and it just feels like the Batman animated series.
I agree.
So, which is one of my favorite animated shows of all time.
To be honest, what didn't you like?
It's an older movie, and I just have warmer feelings from. Okay. It's not so much about what I didn't like about this one. It's what I liked more about the ones above it.
That's cool. You have your thoughts.
I could have put this at number four, but I thought, I'll do it at number five.
Okay, that's fine. I'll be discussing 89 a little bit later on.
That's what's so.
That was your number five. Mm-hmm. My number five is Batman Returns. Okay. This is where I put that one. We already discussed it a little bit. This is 1992, Tim Burton's second go directing a Batman movie, Michael Keaton's second go as starring as Batman, Danny DeVito, Penguin, Michelle Pfeiffer, Catwoman. Definitely like people complain how dark this movie is, but to me, like, a Batman movie needs to be dark. Maybe that's just how he's come off, you know, in recent years, but. You know, Batman needs to be this dark, brooding guy.
All right.
And I think that maybe not as much as 89, but I think Michael Keaton portrays Bruce Wayne as kind of a haunted individual. Like, he wants to be Batman, but he's also... tired, if that makes sense. So I think he just does a great job. He's a great Bruce Wayne. I know people have complained in the past that he's maybe not the most intimidating Batman. You know, because he's not a tall guy. He's not, you know, big muscular tall guy. But I think he fits the role well. I think I like how Danny DeVito and Michelle Pfeiffer made their characters look. Pretty comic accurate, that's how you imagine Penguin and Catwoman are gonna look.
Oh yeah, I thought Danny DeVito was great. The Penguin.
Yeah. I always find it funny the part where they hijack the Batmobile and Penguin is on his it's like an arcadey kind of thing. So he's sitting there just rocking back and forth, driving the Batmobile. I do find the plot stupid where. he straps the bombs to the penguins and they're supposed to go out and blow crap up.
Yeah.
That was pretty dumb. And then, of course, you got this movie, too, where Batman just straight up murders a dude. Like, I don't think it's completely intentional, but I do remember the part that people talk about where there's a bad guy standing behind the Batmobile and he just fires it straight up and the flames shoot out and the dude's just caught on fire. I don't hate this movie. I remember as a kid that I just didn't find super exciting. I don't think a whole lot happens as much as the 89 one. Like, I don't know. I don't hate this movie. I don't love it nearly as much as I do some of the other ones that are higher up on my list.
Right.
And this one has an 80% critic score and a 73%.
Yes, that's the highest one
by far.
So far.
That's my, number five?
Mm-hmm.
So your turn, number four.
Dark Knight.
Just kidding.
As I say, you're going to piss the people off with Batman 89 being so low. I can imagine.
Here's where I have Batman Forever. And like I said, it's only for nostalgia because this is the one I remember loving as a kid because I loved Jim Carrey. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if this was before or after like The Mask and Ace Ventura and all that. It was around
time. I think, yeah. I think they were about a year or so apart.
Yeah, so because I loved Jim Carrey. He was goofy and funny, so I loved his Riddler. He was over the top, but come on. The Riddler has always been a campy villain.
Though I don't think he's going to be that campy in the new one.
So it'll be interesting to see how Paul Dano portrays this Riddler. Yeah. And so probably very different from me. But, he cuts the letters out of the magazines and forms the riddles for Bruce to solve and mm-hmm. whatnot. And I like Tommy Lee Jones. I don't like it as much. At the time I liked it, but then we saw what a really good Two-Face can be, later on. To be discussed later. It's mostly the what puts this here is just the nostalgia factor and pretty much the Riddler. Because I love him as a villain as it is, I thought it was a good character. So,
like I said, just because this was so low on my list doesn't mean I don't have fun with this movie.
Yeah.
I at least enjoy Batman and Robin. I don't enjoy sitting down to watch. This one I can sit down and watch and at least have a little bit of fun with it.
So. Like I said, it's almost like 4A and 4B for this one and 89 Batman. So,
gotcha.
And I really need to watch Returns again to see, see how it stacks up. But yeah, that's really all I have.
Okay,
for that one.
That's all right. My number four. This is The Dark Knight Rises.
Ooh, shots fired. not really. I know there's a lot of people that do. I mean, not that you didn't like it.
I don't hate it.
No.
I just find good things on the other ones more than this one. So this one was from 2012. This is the end of the trilogy. So the third go for Christopher Nolan directing a Batman movie. Christian Bale's third go as Batman, Bruce Wayne. And you had Anne Hathaway as Catwoman. Mm-hmm. And then Tom Hardy as Bane. Hey, here's Bane. a good Bane. just because I have this at four does not mean that I don't think this is a good movie. I just think that compared to the first two movies in Christopher Nolan's trilogy, that this one doesn't add up to be quite as good as Batman Begins and The Dark Knight. Definitely some good things. Tom Hardy is super scary is Bane. Mm-hmm. I love the scene where he's starting to take over Gotham and he blows up the football field. To me, that just screams like super bad guy. And then his introduction to this movie is fantastic, mm-hmm. too, when they're trying to hijack him off the plane. And, God, what's the line he says? It won't be pleasant for you.
For you.
Yeah. So just the way that he handles himself, mm-hmm. like he's an intimidating bad guy. Mm-hmm. And just helped by the fact that even though we don't see the venom juice, mm-hmm. or venom, yeah. whatever you want to call it, in this movie, he still has just this intimidation factor. And the mask looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, I just love how Bane is just... I love Bane in this movie.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Now, things I don't really like... I mean, Christian Bale has always been... He's been a halfway decent Bruce Wayne Batman. I don't think this one he nearly has the suaveness as the other ones. Of course, I feel like Christopher Nolan wanted to go the route of like almost of a tired, beat down Batman at this point, which I think did it well. But for one, well, my main issue with Christian Bale's Batman in this movie is the raspy voice, which has gotten worse, or by this point had just gotten worse and worse and worse through the three movies.
Yeah.
So,
oh, gee, and have that voice talking to Bane in that mask, you can hardly hear as it was. So I don't know what's happening, but I love it.
Yeah, so that's I hate the raspy voice in this movie. It's way too over the top.
Yeah,
like I like the new movie to where Robert Pattinson doesn't seem to be doing any kind. Mm-hmm. Like he seems to be deepening his voice a little bit. But he doesn't need to make it raspy. So I hate the raspy voice in this movie. And like, I also don't feel like I love the idea of Anne Hathaway as Catwoman. I just don't feel like she does a whole lot in this movie. Like she kind of steps up at the end because she ends up saving Batman from Talia al Ghul. And Bane, but throughout the rest of the movie, it's like, what the F are you doing?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And then, and then my last thing that I have to complain about is Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who, throughout the whole movie, it's like, yeah, your name's John Blake, and then they're just gonna shoehorn at the end. What's your quote unquote real name? Oh, it's Robin. Really?
Yeah.
This is where we're going to go with that?
Yeah, I didn't like that. I have an idea of what something could have done better, which I was hoping for, but I'll get into that.
Yeah, the whoop.
So.
Okay.
But.
Yeah, that's my number four.
That's your number four. Okay, so we're at my number three.
Yep.
This is where we get really tough. So. Because number two and three could both have been swapped, but. I'll go with my first instinct. I got Batman Begins, number three.
That's where I have it.
At number three. Okay. Sure there do. You go. First off,
this Batman Begins was 2005. Mm-hmm. The first in the Christopher Nolan trilogy.
Right. So we've discussed this. I know the 89 and the two Tim Burton's are sequels, direct sequels.
Yes.
Batman Forever was... kind of a sequel.
Kind of, sort of, not really.
I think they were tried to let it be a continue, but they just felt so different. So that was same continuity, I guess.
Yeah.
This hard reset we saw. Uh-huh. You know, we saw the introduction story again, the origin story.
Yes.
So, which is fine. I really hope they don't do the origin story again, which they shouldn't, because...
Please don't.
we're going to see a year, like a year two Batman, but they're probably going to have some kind of, he's having a nightmare and flashing back to whatever and see the pearl necklace shatter or whatever.
Please don't. For the love of gracious, don't.
Anyway, so Batman Begins.
Yeah, so 2005, Christopher Nolan's first movie in the trilogy that he made. Christian Bale's first go. You had bad guys. Liam Neeson, you find out, is... it's Ra's al Ghul in the movie. In the comics, it's actually pronounced Ra's
al Ghul.
Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah.
And then you had Killian Murphy. I think it's Killian.
I just saw Cillian.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I've heard it pronounced both ways. So it's either Killian or Cillian Murphy.
Tomato, tomato.
As Jonathan Crane slash Scarecrow. So that is pretty much your...
Yeah. And I like the villains. Scarecrow was very scary.
Yes.
And, you know, when he's doing the fear gas, fear toxin, the people, and there you see what they're seeing, and it's like Batman just looks like a hideous monster and, like, whatnot. So that was really a really cool effect. And
I just wish that they showed more. Like, I remember being hyped hearing that Scarecrow was going to be a bad guy in this movie, and then being just slightly disappointed that you didn't get more fear toxin Scarecrow with his mask on kind of thing. But once again, I guess they wanted to be a little more grounded with the way they way he wanted to do stuff. So whatever. I did like, I mean, you're talking about the bad guys. I did kind of like the curveball with Ra's al Ghul.
Oh yeah, I love the swerve.
Yeah, you mentioned that this movie does show the origins, but I love the fact that they go beyond just showing his parents dying. Like, no other movie has showed anything from origins or parents dying to just patrolling Gotham as Batman.
Oh, yeah. It's just like, okay, parents died. Oh, now I'm a vigilante protecting the city. Like, how'd you get from A to B?
Yes. And I just love the fact that, I mean, you hear, you're like, oh, Batman's this great fighter. He knows all these martial arts. This movie actually shows his time with the League of Shadows. So... I love that they decided to include that, just showing that gap between, you know, his childhood trauma to being the Batman, and I love it. I think that's kind of what puts this above Dark Knight Rises for me.
Yeah, I like it. I did not like one thing at the time. I didn't like. I've grown to. Like more is the Batmobile. I didn't like the design.
Batmobile. The tumbler.
Yeah, like a tank. But I couldn't use, because I guess I liked the old, the way the cartoon looked, the long car. But
yeah,
I guess this makes more sense. It's different, so they couldn't do the same thing.
Gotcha.
But yeah, and I like the Ra's al Ghul. I did at the time. I wasn't as well versed on who he was as a villain, but since I've read more comics and things, I know he was in the cartoon, but I watched those when I was whatever.
Yeah.
So, and they didn't go full into it like Lazarus Pit coming back and all that stuff, which would have been cool to see, but that would have almost been like he show up in a later movie. Oh, how he died, but here's how. So. But
now I do admit I didn't like the their plot to destroy Gotham. I understood where they were going with it, because they ended up, I mean, they poured the fear toxin into the water supply, and then they were going to evaporate the water supply, spread the toxin. But it's like, it's kind of a dumb idea. So
yeah,
I don't know, like, that the plot to destroy Gotham, just, that's probably one of my least favorite parts of the movie.
Yeah,
but it's kind of stupid.
It reminds me of, which actually 89 did this, and I forgot to talk about it, is it reminds me of the Joker putting his chemicals.
That's right.
Different, yeah. Like the laughing, like the laughing toxin until they eventually die, which is straight out of the animated series. Also, that's an episode, but yeah, that's just a better idea, I think, because it's just stupid and so Joker-esque. But
I agree.
But yeah, this one, this is a great movie. I mean, it's a good, fantastic origin story. Fantastic movie to kick off a trilogy. Again, I hope we don't have to see the origin again, but yeah, it remains to be seen. yeah, so what was this Rotten Tomato score?
I actually don't think I gave you the one for Dark Knight, right? So which ones, how many have I given you so far?
I looked up Rises while you're talking with 87.
Yes, okay, my bad. That is my bad. I completely forgot.
Yeah, I don't have the critic score.
For which one?
Actually, it's 9. Sorry, the critic is 87, audience is 90.
For Dark Knight Rises.
Dark Knight Rises.
For Batman Begins, it's 84 critic and 94 fan.
Oh, wow.
So, apparently the fans really like this one, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that was both for number three, so that leaves you your number two.
Number two. Every time. This is where I put Dark Knight Rises.
Okay.
Because... Just everything you said. Bane was a fantastic character. They could, yeah, I like the design of the comic books, you know, where the full, like, almost luchador type mask.
Oh, yeah.
But this is a more grounded look of it. I didn't like how, I know it was kind of hard to tell what he was saying because of the mask, which actually in the first trailer it was awful, but and they had to actually fix it
sure
because
<did. laughs>
people complained. Just the whole introduction to Bane was great. The backstory on Bane when he was in the pit, mm-hmm. and how he escaped and how, and then later they called back to that by him taking Bruce there, yep. to the same pit. Okay. And with Bane, I got one of the most iconic scenes from the comics.
I forgot to mention this one.
The breaking the bat.
Yes.
You know, so he breaks into... He discovers where his lair is, and so he's just kind of chilling, waiting for Bruce to come in, and he just straightened on Wellen on beating his...
Yes.
But I wanted to say a different word there. But... And then we got the iconic scene of just breaking his back over his knee.
Yeah.
Like, you know. So they had to do that in this movie with a really fearsome Bane. and then I like the twist with Talia al Ghul. We didn't know her last name at the end. You know, oh, crap. You call back to the first movie.
I just realized you had two swerves with the al Ghuls and... two different movies.
Yeah, good bookends. But I thought that was good, and I liked how it began because at the end of The Dark Knight, it was almost like he was retiring, kind of,
mm-hmm.
the way his old monologue, it's the hero Gotham deserves, but not the one it needs right now, or maybe I had that flipped. So he's riding away. And so when we pick this up, well, I think we are supposed to assume he hasn't been Batman since that moment. And so when we first see him, he's hurt, limping around on crutches or a cane or something. So, but I just have a fun time with this. And I love what Bane's whole goal is of just taking over the city. And... He interrupts the Pittsburgh Steelers football game. I know it's the Gotham, whatever they are, Knights or something. But I think Ben Roethlisberger is on the side, and Hines Ward is the player running. And I love that scene where he blows it up, and he's just running with the ball, and it's exploding behind him. Has no idea until he turns around. It's like, oh, there's a giant crater.
Yeah, that was a great scene.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on Anne Hathaway's Catwoman?
I liked her as Catwoman, but like you said, she didn't do enough in the movie, I don't think. Like,
exactly.
But I know there was a movie where they already had a lot going on. They tried to shove so much in it. They
I guess they didn't really have time, but had she done more, I think it would have been, I'd still say it's probably maybe the best version of Catwoman we've seen, in my opinion. Were you like Halle Berry Catwoman better?
Exactly. You caught me.
Well, because she got a whole movie.
You caught me. Look. Yeah, no.
Anyways, that's all I have for Dark Knight Rises.
Okay. Sorry, that was your number two?
Mm-hmm.
My number two. This is where I put 89. Batman 89.
Okay.
So, as if you couldn't tell, 1989, Tim Burton, first go at Batman. Michael Keaton's first go as Batman, Bruce Wayne. And then you had Jack Nicholson as Joker. And I just love the atmosphere of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Before this, there hadn't really, like, I don't think there was really a whole lot of big comic book movies between or before this other than the Superman quadrilogy. I think there was four of those. And, of course, Superman, Christopher Reeves, was nowhere near as dark as this movie is. And I just love how real this almost feels. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, it's a little goofy for an 80s movie. But, you know, I've said before, or I said when I was talking about Batman Returns, like, Michael Keaton is just a great Bruce Wayne. Not the most intimidating Batman.
Yeah.
But he's a great Bruce Wayne. And I think Jack Nicholson is a great Joker. Maybe kind of plays it around the same as some of his other movie characters that he's played. But I mean, it's Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
Tell him to go play a crazy character. He's going to do a good job going to go play a crazy character. And I love the suit in this movie. Like, I am a stickler for the black leather with the yellow...
Yellow logo.
So, And this... I remember this being... I mean, of course, I watched the animated series as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But... Movie-wise, this was my first introduction to Batman. So this is going to... this one has a little bit closer to my heart than some of the other ones.
Which probably forever may have been my first movie introduction. Okay. So why I had it now.
I remember... I didn't wear out the VHS tape, but I watched the VHS tape that we had of Batman 89 quite a bit. So maybe it's nostalgia that puts higher up here, but...
It is very good. I mean, like I said, it has, 72. So, it's a very good movie.
Yeah, I just appreciate it.
Yeah, that's fair. I get that.
All right. Well, so, I can almost guarantee you that our number ones are probably...
Well, if you haven't figured it out by now...
what's the matter with
you? Sorry, what's the matter? Yeah. So, number one, the only one left. The Dark Knight.
That would be The Dark Knight. This one was 2008. So this is the middle part of Christopher Nolan's trilogy. Christian Bale's second turn as Batman. And Heath Ledger is your Joker in this movie. And Aaron Eckhart will be your Harvey Dent. Two-Faced, kind of near the end of the movie. He's not Two-Faced the whole movie.
Right.
But he does turn into Two-Faced in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and really what makes this whole movie is...
Heath Ledger. Sure does.
And I can't say... It may not have even been this high if the Joker wasn't in it, or they had just anybody else play the Joker. It may not have... Batman Begins or whatever could have been higher.
Well, I don't know if you remember when this movie was first being made and they announced that Heath Ledger was going to play the Joker, just how much backlash there was to Heath Ledger playing the Joker. Because up until this point, he had only played, you know, goofy characters or rom-com characters or...
I just remember seeing him in Knight's Tale.
Yeah.
That was my introduction to him.
Yeah. Like, let me, like, his first... Well, there's none of the movies that I recognize. But, like, before this, he was in the ones that I recognize. He was in Brokeback Mountain, and he was in The Brothers Grimm. Mm. So not necessarily two movies that you... you're like, he's going to make a great Joker.
Yeah.
No, it's... But I definitely agree. Like, you watch this movie, Heath Ledger's performance just blows you away.
Oh yeah, that's what you need from a Joker. He has no rhyme or reason to do what he's doing. He just wants chaos, and like, just I don't know. The thing different between blowing up the hospital, the intro, the bank heist scene, and then the one where he's got the two boats at the end is like. And it's the prisoner's dilemma that he does. Oh, y'all can blow theirs up. They can blow yours up. Or you don't. And neither one of you blow up. things like that.
I knew I was loving his performance with the... you want to see this pencil disappear?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And just the mannerisms with the whole, like, tongue thing he does when he's talking. And it's just weird and just perfect for that character.
Yes.
And just the look of him is good. The hair, it just fits in the whole grounded universe they're trying to put together. It's not the perfect face paint. It's splotchety and whatnot. And I love how, you know, the scars on his mouth. He gives a different story every time he tells it. Which just goes into, he's just a crazy guy. So.
Yeah, I definitely agree that Heath Ledger definitely makes this movie. I mean, Christian Bale's fine. Nothing to really complain about. It's just, you know, it's everybody's going to agree with you. He just gets overshadowed by Heath Ledger's performance. It's nice to see the introduction to Two-Face, even though it kind of always like got me because like I never understood it because. He only gets oil or gasoline on one side of his face, and then it gives us just a perfect straight burn. And I'm it's a little goofy. The bank heist kind of gets me because I'm like, how do these other school buses not see the school bus pull out of this big old hole in the wall? Yeah.
Oh, okay, well, whatever.
But that's the stuff that I can watch the movie and overlook because the rest of it is just it's fantastic. Yeah. Like other than the end of that bank heist, the rest of the bank heist is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Just having all those guys in clown masks and then they end up turning on each other, just killing each other until the Joker's the only one left to get the whole money that they just stole. So it's I don't know. To me, The Dark Knight. Of course, we haven't seen the Batman yet, but to me, The Dark Knight is the go-to Batman movie right
absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. And, I don't know, like, I have so much to say about this movie. It's, like, I think, and I hate that, you know, Heath Ledger did such a good job, and I just hate, you know, we know what happened afterwards, like, and a lot of people credit this role. As I don't know the truth of this, but what I've always heard is because he gets so much into his roles that he almost becomes a character, and he got to where he couldn't sleep and depression and whatnot, so he was on meds, which led to the death. You know, rest in peace, Heath Ledger. But yeah, and then what's the Rotten Tomato score on this?
94. Hey.
Sorry, Siri.
94 critic and 94 audience.
Yeah, so it's by far the highest one.
And it's well-deserved. I feel like it's well-deserved. People think that, well, Heath Ledger only gets so much praise because he died after this movie. No.
I mean...
He puts in just a phenomenal performance. Yeah. This movie wouldn't be anywhere as good as it was if he was not the Joker.
Yeah. So, real quick, who's your favorite Bruce Wayne?
Bruce Wayne?
Mm-hmm.
Michael Keaton?
Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of people, it's either Keaton or Bale. I'd probably say Bale. Ben Affleck?
Actually,
I didn't mind.
People hate, or people want to crap all over Ben Affleck, but he was not nearly as bad as people want to say that he was.
Yeah, I mean, I know we're not doing that movie, but I mean, he might be up there.
Affleck.
There, and then I like the Commissioner Gordon from the Dark Knight trilogy, so I thought that
Gary Oldman
did a good job as yep. Gordon.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
Oh, we haven't talked about Alfred at all.
So Michael Caine or Michael Goh? Michael Goh was the earlier one.
Yeah.
Michael Caine was your Dark Knight Alfred.
I like Michael Caine.
Yeah. I mean, Michael Goh is fantastic. Like, Michael Goh feels almost like a grandfatherly type. So I feel like he was good.
He was very much animated series type Alfred.
Yes.
It's like Michael Caine.
Because Michael Caine is such a fantastic actor.
Oh, yeah. Great. And I'm really interested in how, name slipping my mind. Andy Serkis is going to be playing a almost kind of borderline buff Alfred. Like, it's not going to be so much as a grandfather type, but more as like a older brother. Well, he's probably a good bit older than Pattinson. I forgot we got a young actor, so
yeah,
maybe a father type.
Yeah,
but I just hope we see, you know, Alfred, you know,
kick some butt.
You know, like we haven't seen Alfred in a movie, you know, take down some dudes. Yeah. So let's see him get in there.
I don't think a lot of people realize that he's in the comics a former,
yeah,
like British soldier, mm-hmm, or something like that.
Yeah.
Definitely excited to see what Andy Serkis does. Excited to see how Paul Dano,
mm-hmm,
is Riddler. And I'm kind of excited to see what Colin Farrell can do as the Penguin.
I forgot about he's a Penguin. He doesn't even look like himself.
No. And then, of course, Zoe Kravitz is, mm-hmm, Catwoman.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. But I know we're running out of time. Hope you enjoyed this branch off that we have for this show.
The overtime.
We're definitely going to do more of this. You know, yeah. We're actually going to turn this into a weekly thing, kind of switch off between our sports shows and then whatever topic. Like, I don't even know.
Geek show.
We haven't even talked about topics for the next show, but we'll figure something out, come up with something good. But guys, really appreciate listening. Look us up on Facebook, Cheering from the Cheap Seats. Look us up on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Cheer Cheap Seats. If you like sports video games and you want to see me just crap the bed sometimes, look me up, Cheer Cheap Seats on Twitch, or Cheering from the Cheap Seats on YouTube, because I've been streaming a little bit of college baseball for the PS2. I think that's all I got. What you got?
Like and subscribe us on your podcast platform of choice. The two biggest ones, Spotify and Apple Podcasts. I think we're also on Google. Mm-hmm. Stitcher. I don't know if we're on Stitcher, but
we might be.
Or just the Anchor's website, which is how we record the show. Like, subscribe, leave a review, and spread the word. You know, now that we're, maybe sports aren't your thing, hopefully we can get people liking this show. And you know, if you only listen every other week, hey, I'll take it than not listening at all.
Yeah. Either way helps us quite a bit.
Yeah, so, and get in on the Facebook group. We're trying to push that as, you know, interaction, you know, just discussing the episode, just sharing things, you know.
And fuss at us.
It doesn't have to be limited to sports now. We can talk about nerdy crap, so.
Sure can.
That's all I got.
All right, guys. Well, I guess we will see you for our next sports-related episode. Until then, stay geeky.
Later.